The Avenger.
The road to crime ends in a trap that justice sets. Crime does not pay.
Sworn Enemy of Evil is actually Jim Brandon, a famous biochemist. Through his numerous scientific experiments, Brandon has perfected two inventions to aid him in his crusade against crime as the Avenger. The telepathic indicator, by which he is able to pick up thought flashes, and the secret diffusion capsule, which cloaks him in the black light of invisibility. Brandon's assistant, the beautiful Fern Collier, is the only one who shares his secrets and knows that he is the man the underworld fears as the Avenger. And now, the Avenger and the Wingate heirs.
Now listen here, Royce. I may be old, but I'm not exactly blind. It's time some drastic steps were taken around here.
Take it easy, Captain Wingate. You mustn't allow yourself to get so excited.
Keep quiet, Rice. I brought you down here to read the riot act. Nothing's going to stop me. I'm not taken in by your sanctimonious airs and pretended concern for me. You've been my lawyer for 30 years, but I discovered you'd never been my friend.
Oh, really, Captain, that's unfair.
You're like all the others, Rice. Just waiting for me to die.
Captain Wingate.
Don't bother trying to deny it. I know you've been using my holdings to put through deals I never authorized. That's as good as stealing, Rice. And by the great horn spoon, I'm going to make you pay for it.
Captain Wingate, listen.
You listen. I want you to bring my will over here in the morning. I'm cutting you out of it, along with those four good-for-nothing nephews of mine. I'll leave every penny to the Seaman's Charity.
Captain Wingate, as your will stands, it's very eccentric insofar as your nephews are concerned. You're making them sweat for every dollar as it is. Now, why not?
Do as I tell you, Royce. Have that will here first thing in the morning. I'm going to send all you vultures packing. Piper! Piper, where the places are you?
I'm telling, Captain. Don't get your wind up.
You drive that scoundrel Royce back into town, Piper?
Aye, that I did, Captain. Say, what's ailing that lawyer? I never saw him in such a sour temper.
Well, maybe you won't be so chippy yourself when you hear what I got to say.
Well, you got the storm signals up again, Captain.
How long you been living here at Wingate Manor, Piper?
15 years come next month, Captain.
And all that time, I've paid you a good salary for doing next to nothing, haven't I?
Well, now, wait a minute.
My sentiment has its limits, Piper. Just because we sailed the seas together when we were young, there's no reason why I should let you cheat me, is it?
Oh, what are you getting at, Captain?
This, Piper. You've stripped my orchards of their fruit and sold them. The flowers in my garden went to the florists in town, and you collected. For 15 years, you've sold everything from gas out of my cars to food out of my cupboards.
Well, maybe I have done a few things I shouldn't, but
you had the gall to sit around here waiting for me to die and leave you a fat pension. Well, the wind has changed, Piper. I found you out. and I'm giving you a week's notice to clear out.
Well, Captain, you can't do that. I'm an old man.
You heard me. I'm clearing the decks. You get 1 week. In the meantime, I'll expect some service from you.
I knew you could be mean, but I never thought you...
Your thinking comes too late. Here, deliver these 4 letters to my nephews in their rooms. I think I should inform my worthy heirs that tomorrow I intend to change my will. Get about it now.
All right. I'll deliver these letters, and I'll tell your nephews that the devil has possessed you.
My heirs. The Wingate heirs. 4 lazy parasites sitting around waiting for an old man to die. I'll show them. Joe, the engineer who never builds. Tom, the doctor who never had a patient. Ralph and Oliver, the wastrels. Paupers, all of them. Tomorrow I'll cut them off completely. Then I think I'll live to be 100. Just to watch them suffer.
Turn left here, Jim. That's Wingate Manor at the top of the hill.
This looks like a magnificent estate, Inspector.
It is, but if these rich old codgers have to jump out of their windows, I wish they wouldn't pick 3 o'clock in the morning to do it.
Well, it shouldn't take very long. Say, there's quite a crowd gathered in front of the house.
Pull up here, Jim.
Okay.
Come on, let's have a look. Step aside, please. Police. There's the body over there, Jim. Better look it over.
Right, Inspector.
Who's taking charge of things here?
I'm Smedley Royce, Captain Wingate's lawyer. I'd be glad to help in any way I can.
Were you here when this happened?
No, I just arrived. Dr. Thomas Wingate, one of Captain Wingate's nephews, called me.
Who discovered the body?
I think he did. Dr. Thomas, I mean.
That's right, Inspector. I'm Tom Wingate. My room faces this side courtyard. I heard the noise and came running, but Uncle was dead before we reached him.
We?
Yes, my 3 cousins, Joe, Ralph, and Oliver. We all got out here at about the same time.
I see. Where was your uncle when he jumped?
In his study on the 3rd floor, just above here.
Oh, Inspector.
Yes.
Wingate seems to have died instantly.
Okay, Jim. My men will be here in a minute. In the meantime, let's have a look at the study upstairs. Would you mind coming along, Royce?
Not at all.
The door is locked.
Does anybody in the house have a key?
Well, no. The captain had the only key, and I suppose that's on the inside.
Shall we break the door in, Inspector?
Yeah, come on, Jim. Let's put our shoulders to it.
All right, ready?
Yes. Yeah. That did it.
Just a minute. I'll turn on the light.
Well, Captain Wingate frequently worked late at night. By the looks of his desk, he must have been writing just
Don't touch anything on that desk, Royce.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just a little curious.
For the moment, the case is in the hands of the police.
Of course.
Captain Wingate seems to have been tracing the history of his family.
Yes, that's right. The captain was an ardent student of genealogy.
Well, Royce, would you call the members of the family together? There are a few routine matters to straighten out.
Yes, of course. Right away, Mr. Brandon.
Jim, what are you up to? There's no need to conduct an investigation tonight.
Inspector, have your men checked to see if the captain had his keys on him when he jumped? They're not in here.
Okay, Jim.
What was he writing there at the desk?
Oh, some kind of a paper entitled Genealogical Reasons for 4 Worthless Nephews.
Sounds morbid.
This stuff proves that the old man was pretty low in his mind. I guess that's why he decided to end it all.
Inspector, I'm almost certain Captain Wingate was murdered.
What?
There are things in this room that just don't add up to suicide.
For instance?
Well, this is a small, uncomfortable room. Nothing but work would keep a man in here until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that checks with what Royce said.
Look, if Wingate had been sitting there working, he would have had the light on, wouldn't he?
Sure.
Well, when we came into this room, it was dark. I turned the light on.
Say, that's right, Jim.
Now, a man about to jump out the window doesn't bother to switch out the light first.
No.
But a person leaving a room by the door turns it out automatically.
All of which adds up to the fact that someone pushed Wingate out of the window.
Offhand, I'd say there's more than an even chance of it, Inspector.
Well, let's go to work, Jim.
Inspector, we'd have a lot to gain by keeping our investigation under cover until after the reading of the will.
Yeah. That will might have a very interesting story to tell. ¶¶
after the deduction of these personal bequests to the above mentioned for services rendered, I bequeath the rest of my estate to my four nephews.
Well, that's what
we've been waiting for, I should say.
Just a moment. I haven't finished. There's several conditions. Provided each of those nephews stays in my study alone for 1 week and, using the books available there, traces the history of the Wingate family down to the time of his own birth. If, for any reason whatsoever, the history is not completed, or the person fails to stay within the room for the required week, he forfeits his right to the share of the estate. And the estate will be divided equally among those nephews who succeed in this requirement. If none succeeds, the estate is willed in its entirety to the Seaman's Charity, as indicated above.
Well, Jim, that last clause certainly threw a bombshell into this little gathering.
I think that's exactly what it was meant to do, Fern. Oh, Captain Wingate certainly had it in for those nephews of his.
Mr. Royce, just a moment, please.
Quiet, please. Joseph Wingate has the floor.
Thank you. I'd like to ask a question, Mr. Royce.
Go right ahead.
Would it be possible, provided we four Wingate nephews are in agreement, to divide the estate equally among us without regard to that last eccentric provision?
I'm afraid not, Joseph. I understand your position, but according to the law, this will must be carried out to the letter.
Well, we might as well get started on it then. In what order are we to try for the grand prize, Mr. Royce?
Ralph Wingate first, Oliver Wingate second, you, Joseph Wingate third, and Dr. Thomas Wingate last.
This whole thing is preposterous.
You mean you're not going to try for it, Tom?
I mean nothing of the kind, Joe. What about you, Oliver?
Well, I'm on, and so is Ralph.
All right, then. Provisions will be stocked within the room, and no outside communication of any kind will be permitted. The door will be locked from the outside by Captain Wingate's banker.
Well, Ralph, are you ready? Let's see how you can take a week of solitary confinement.
Jim, even though I didn't get in on the ground floor of this case, I know you think old Captain Wingate was murdered.
That's right, Fern. But we'll have to move slowly on this. There are six suspects.
Six? How do you figure that, Jim?
The four nephews, Royce the lawyer, and Piper the servant. Every one of them had something to gain by Captain Wingate's death on that particular night.
Why that particular night?
Because Wingate planned to change his will the following morning and cut every one of them off without a cent.
How did you find that out, Jim?
Wingate had drawn up a rough draft of the changes he intended to make. Those papers were found in his coat pocket after his death.
Six suspects. Which one do we go to work on first?
All of them. We're going to make a tour of the house. That way, we should find out a few things about the people who live in Wingate Manor.
Wingate heirs.
that's that. We've worked our way right up here to the attic, Jim, and haven't found a thing. Except that Wingate Manor could stand for some improvements.
Wait a minute, Fern. Do you hear anything in this attic?
Yes. Sounds like water dripping somewhere.
That's what I thought. Let's have a look.
Fern, it's over here on the other side of these trunks.
Oh, it's only a leaking faucet. At one time, they must have intended to finish this attic for living quarters.
No. This faucet has been installed rather recently, and this tin drain into which it drips is almost new.
It probably needs a new washer. Why don't you speak to Piper about it?
No, it's all right. I turned it off.
Come on, then. Let's get back into town. I'm hungry.
Hello?
Jim, I hate to get you up like this again, but Ralph Wingate just jumped out of the window.
Okay, Inspector. Pick me up on your way out there.
Well, Jim, we had a few hours to go over everything. Do you think Ralph Wingate was murdered?
There's nothing to indicate that, Inspector. This has all the earmarks of suicide.
Then that washes up the case. Ralph murdered the old captain. Then his conscience started bothering him while he was locked up here alone.
A possibility, Inspector, but we'll have to prove it.
Well, that might not be so easy to prove.
It's Oliver Wingate's turn to go into the study next. Let everything proceed according to schedule. I'm beginning to get an idea, Inspector.
Jim, this is the third night we've set up this net under that study window. I think Oliver's going to stick it out.
If he does, then we're right back where we started, Jim.
Fern, I still believe Oliver will jump. And when he does, we've got to be on hand to save him.
Can we rehearse everything so there won't be any slips?
All right. Here's the plan. As soon as Oliver jumps, we bundle him off in that car over there, and the inspector's men will rush him to the hospital and keep him under guard. In the meantime, we bring in the net, place that dummy underneath the window, and cover it up. Then we give the alarm.
And within a few minutes after that, some of my men will arrive and bear the dummy away. And to the best knowledge of our suspects, Oliver Wingate is dead.
All very well, but where does all this get us?
It gives us a chance to question Oliver Wingate and find out why he jumped. From there, it should be easy to trace the murderer.
Oh, Jim, look. It's Oliver. He's on the window ledge.
He's going to jump, all right. Get ready, Inspector.
The noise! The noise! I can't stand it!
This Wingate case certainly seems to have a jinx on it, Jim. Every clue we start to work on goes up in smoke.
Yes, we've had some tough breaks, Fern. Things had worked out as planned, the case would be solved by now.
Well, we had no way of knowing Oliver would crack up completely and not be able to tell us anything.
We did find out one thing. Oliver had his ears stuffed with paper. He was trying to shut out that noise he screamed about as he was falling.
Doctor says he'll probably be all right within a few weeks.
Oh, we can't wait for that. In the meantime, it serves our purpose to let everyone here at Wingate Manor believe he's dead.
Who's locked up in the study now, Jim?
Joe, the engineer.
I'm completely baffled. I don't know whom to suspect.
There are still four suspects, Fern. Royce, Dr. Tom, Piper, and Joe. We can't overlook any of them.
This case proves that too many motives are as bad as none at all.
I'm going up to the attic. I want to do a little investigating.
The attic again? What's so interesting up there, Jim?
I'll let you know later, Fern. Right now, I want you to go downstairs and keep your eye on Piper and Dr. Tom. They had their heads together in the dining room when we came up here.
Right, Jim.
Having another helping, Dr. Tom?
No, thanks, Piper. I'm not hungry.
Oh, that's too bad. You ought to eat, Dr. Tom. At a time like this, a man needs his strength.
Yeah, things are in a mess, all right. Yeah. Every time I turn around, I run into Brandon or that police inspector. Why don't they keep their noses out of things that don't concern them?
Well, I reckon the police have a right to get their wind up over 3 deaths, Dr. Tom.
3 suicides, Piper.
Were they, Dr. Tom?
Piper, what are you driving at?
Oh, nothing, nothing.
Come on, out with it.
Well, you got to admit that the old captain died mighty convenient for a lot of people.
You included, don't forget that. Your head was going to roll with the rest of us.
Oh, I'm not accusing anybody, no. I'm just talking.
Well, be careful what you say. Jim Brandon's snooping around the house somewhere. If he should happen to find out that Uncle planned to change his will, he'd arrest all of us on suspicion.
You know, I got a feeling all our troubles will be over soon.
And what makes you think that?
Well, Mr. Joe ain't the jumping kind. He'll last the week out up there in the study.
Well, if Joe can do it, so can I. When my turn comes, I'm not going to oblige Joe by jumping out the window and letting him inherit everything.
Well, I hope you're right. Because if neither you nor Mr. Joe sticks it out, Mr. Royce will have the most to gain.
Hmm?
Aye. He's to be one of the trustees if the estate goes to charity, ain't he?
Yes. Yeah, that Royce is a slick one, all right.
Right. But I'm putting my money on Mr. Joe, though. He's got a stubborn streak in him. Just like the old captain.
Yes, you and Joe always did side together, didn't you? You know, sometimes I wonder... Oh, get into the kitchen, Piper, before I say something I'll be sorry for.
Fern, where are you?
In here, Jim. Piper and Dr. Tom have been arguing in the dining room, but I couldn't make out what they were saying.
Never mind that now. I've hit on something, Fern. Something I believe may break this case.
Good. What is it?
You'll have to help me test it out.
What do you want me to do?
First, let's synchronize our watches. It's exactly 1:30.
Right.
Now, you go up to the attic and at 1:40, open that faucet up there and start the water dripping.
Okay. But that doesn't sound like a very important assignment.
Believe me, it is, Fern. I'll explain later. Right now, I'm going into that study by way of the window as the Avenger.
What's that noise? Who's there at the window? That's strange. There's no one there. This place must be driving me batty. I'd better get hold of myself. I am hearing things. The water, I hear it dripping. That can't be. My mind is playing tricks on me. That's it. That's it, my mind.
It's the sound of your conscience, Joseph Wingate.
Who's in this room? Who spoke?
The voice of justice, calling you to account, Joe.
No. No, it's all in my mind. There's nobody here.
The Avenger is here, Joe.
The Avenger? Where are you?
I'm here, but you can't see me. You're blinded by the crimes you have committed.
Get out of this room. This is some trick to make me lose my inheritance.
You've already lost that, Joe.
No. No, I haven't. Nothing will drive me out of here.
Then I will stay here with you. The dripping water and I. I will stay here to remind you of your crimes and wait for your confession.
I confess nothing. And I never will.
Listen to the water, Joe. Listen to it.
No. No, let me alone.
Ralph and Oliver listened to that dripping until it drove them mad. They're whispering to you now, Joe. Their voices accuse you. And the old captain calls out from his grave.
No.
Listen, Joe. Listen to what the dripping water says.
No.
Do you hear it? It keeps saying, murder, murder. Murder! Murder! Murder!
No. No, I won't confess. You stay here if you want. Let the dripping water drive you mad. The stakes are high, Avenger. And Joseph Wingate is playing this hand out.
There's to be no rest for you, Joe. Not until you confess your crimes.
I can't.
cried out like that, Joe. But there was no one to hear them.
Stop it!
They stuffed their ears with paper, but they couldn't shut out the sounds. And so they jumped.
No. No, I won't jump.
Confess that.
I can't stand it. I'll tell everything. Yes. Yes.
Write it all down, Joe. Write it down. And as soon as you've finished, the sounds will stop. Start writing, Joe.
Spot over there above the desk is where the sound came out, Inspector.
Well, I don't see anything, Jim. The wall looks all right to me.
Well, wait a minute. I'll tear off a section of this wallpaper and show you what's behind it.
Well, what do you know?
The design on the paper right here was perforated to let the sound out.
Why, Jim, there's a big amplifying horn set there in the wall.
That's right, Fern. This horn was wired to that small dictaphone I showed you under the tin drain of the water faucet in the attic. Mm-hmm. All Joe Wingate had to do was let the water drip.
A few days of listening to that was all a man could stand.
Particularly when he thought he was imagining it.
Well, fortunately, Joe couldn't stand it either.
Jim, that's all the evidence we need to convict Joe Wingate of two murders, plus an attempt on the life of Oliver Wingate.
But, Jim, Joe didn't use this device on old Captain Wingate, did he? I thought you said he pushed the captain out the window.
Well, he did. The study door wasn't locked that night as the old captain sat here working. Here's what happened. Joe walked in on him, pushed the captain out the window, picked the old man's key ring up from the desk, turned out the lights automatically as he left the room, locked the door after him, and went back to his room.
Then when Dr. Tom gave the alarm, Joe ran out into the courtyard.
Right. And under the pretext of helping Tom examine his uncle, he dropped the keys into the captain's pocket where we found them.
Jim, what first led you to suspect Joe?
Well, that dripping faucet in the attic intrigued me from the beginning. I kept checking back on it, and every time I turned it off, someone turned it on again. Up until the time Joe went into the study. Then it was turned off tight. That was the tip-off, and I decided to give Joe some of his own treatment.
Well, it certainly worked, Jim. But what about this angle? Joe must have known exactly what was in his uncle's will, otherwise he couldn't have arranged everything like this.
He did, Fern. He admitted that in his confession. He had everything prepared months ago. Then, when the captain decided to change his will, it forced Joe's hand, and he had to kill his uncle.
Gosh, if anyone ever leaves me any money, I hope it doesn't have any strings attached.
You'd better send out a radio flash to that effect, Inspector. Inform all millionaires that Fern prefers her legacy in small change.
All characters, names, places, and plots used in the Avenger program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
This is a thought, a thought, a thought. Remember, listen for another adventure of...
The Avenger.